أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمرنا إلا واحدة كلمهم بالبصر
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Today, inshallah, our reading of the Holy Book, the Holy Quran, is in 54th chapter, known as Surah Al-Qamar, that is chapter of the moon. Yesterday, we are reading the last section, and in the last section, we stop at verse 49. And our last reading related to us the story of Pharaoh Ramesses II, or the Pharaoh of Egypt, on when they enslave the children of Israel. When we say children of Israel are two different types. Children of Israel then, they were God-fearing people. They were people who serve God. They were people who follow message of God. So when we say children of Israel, we are referring to those people. Children of Israel today are the notorious and evil-minded people. They are the forerunners of the Dajjal. And they are the most evil people on earth's surface presently. So, when we say children of Israel, we are referring to those one that are good. Not the present one. We are not referring to the present generation of Benjamin Netanyahu. We are not. So, that story was related regarding how Pharaoh persecuted them, tormented them, he killed them, he lowered their own class, and he infringed on their fundamental human rights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an apostle to come and rescue them in the person of Moses, alayhi salam, who came, he was an Israelite, but he grew in the house of Pharaoh. And then when he came, 9 signs were given to him, starting with the staff turning into a snake, and then ending with the turning of River Nile to blood. All these signs are given to scare Pharaoh and his council to allow the request or to accept the request of Moses by praying the Israelites to leave Egypt and get their own land. Already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them to go back to their promise, to their initial land where Jacob once lived. So after all those signs, Pharaoh refused. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to deal with him. And he was drawn in water, in Red Sea. And then Moses and the Israelites escaped. And they started their journey to promised land. Moses didn't see the promised land. He died on the way. And Aaron also died on the way. At the end, it was Joshua, the disciple of Moses. In Arabic name is Yusheu. He was the one that led the Israelites into the promised land. So today we are starting a continuation of that. After those stories were related, then a lesson from those stories. You remember the story started from the people of Noah alayhi salam, to the Ad tribe, to Samud tribe, to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah at the time of Lot alayhi salam, and then to Pharaoh. The lessons from it. The promised land is Palestine. It's a Palestine. That is where they were promised and they came to that land. They live in that land until later on the land fall into hands of many leaders. It fall into the hand of the Babylonian. It fall into the hand of the Persian. Then to the hand of the Romans. Continuous. Keep on going like this. Until now, it come to the hand of Zion. The Zion, the the evil group of the Israelites under Benjamin Netanyahu. Verse 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wama amruna illa wahidatan kalamihil bil basar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a lesson we are going to learn is that God Almighty, when He will to do anything, when He decided to do something, at the time He instructed that thing to be done, the thing will be done before you close and open your eyes. Kalamihim bil basar. To the Arabian people at that time, that is the highest speed you can go. Arabian at that time, when you say kalamihim bil basar, that's the fastest. That is, before you close your eyes and open. You know, closing and opening is done in just some fractions of seconds. So to an Arabic man, when you want to tell him something happened very fast, you say kalamihim bil basar. But the reality is beyond that. It's beyond that. Let's see. Even you, who is a human being, when in your mind you are thinking, you can have tens, hundreds of thoughts in your mind before the closing of an eyes, isn't it? That is even you, human being. Set aside God Almighty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the Arabian at that time in the language they will understand. But to God, Amru of God can happen at a speed beyond Kalamihim bil Basr. Beyond that speed. Let's take a look at supersonic jets that travel at a speed of sound. Before you close your eyes, it has already passed. Before you open and close. Yes. We even have missiles known as the supersonic missiles. So, the Amru of God Almighty is happening at a terrifying speed we cannot understand. And God wants us to understand. So, He make it in our own language, that before you close and open your eyes, it will be there. Hadratul Amru. It is another horizon in what God has created. In Hadratul Amru, what we have there are commandments of God Almighty. It is what is in the Hadratul Amru. Angel Gabriel go to Hadratul Amru to pick what God wants him to do. It is there he will pick the message. All angels go to Hadratul Amru to pick a message. And Hadratul Amru is bringing those messages through the divine names of God. Allahu Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Each one is bringing a message in Hadratul Amru, and then it will move to the other Hadra. So Hadratul Amru is a place where everything is meant to exist. Anything that exists must be in the Hadratul Amru. The Hadratul Amru, whatsoever that was in the Hadratul Amru, is recorded in the Lawil Mahfuz. That's why these five last verses is purely talking about God Almighty. So that we appreciate and we fear God. Because stories of those who disobeyed God and were destroyed was given to us. And then therefore, what are the lessons out of it? The lesson is the mightiness of God. So Hadratul Amru is where commandment and instructions from the divine essence come in. Any other thing that is not God will come and pick that command at the Hadratul Amru. That is to say, all the angels, they cannot come to God to pick the instruction. They can't. They are too small. That was the position of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's why the highest angel, as they are traveling, when they reach the Sidra, he said, this is how far I can go. I can't move beyond here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His divine names, He bring instruction, and they were deposited in Hadratul Amru. And then angels will come and pick and go and execute. As they come there, they pick and execute. And in the Hadratul Amru, when angels enter into that Hadra, when the message is just dropping in the Hadratul Amr at that time, all the angels will repent. That's so me about that. Because of the mightiness of the command coming into the Hadratul Amr, they will all repent. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them to come back to life. As the first one that will come back to life is Angel Gabriel. When he came back to life, he will hear the echo of that command in Hadratul Amru. After the command has already dropped, it's only echo. The Amru is speaking echo, so he will hear the echo and he will understand the message. Then when other angel came back to life, Gabriel will tell them, yes, I understand what God wants us to do. Let's go. We are going to this place. We are going to do this and that in that place. Then, out of the names of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are such names that when they drop a command in the Hadratul Amru, even angels cannot pick. That is commands coming from direct Ismul Jalali Allah. No angel can pick it. So that one is the Amru itself that will now execute. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Inna ma amruhu iza arada shay'an an yakulu lahu kun. So the Amru will just pronounce and then that thing will just obey. Example of such command is when Nabi Ibrahim, Abraham alayhi salam, was going to be thrown into fire. The Babylonians have a way of dealing with their enemies. If they want to kill their enemy, they will put a flame, they will dig a ditch, put firewood inside and ignite a flame. Then they will carry the enemy and throw him into the ditch of that flame until he is burned into ash. So that is how they wanted to do to Abraham. They carry Abraham, but the flame is too mighty and too big. If you say you will come to the front of the ditch to push Abraham, you yourself will be burned. So they cannot come closer. At the end of the day, they are wondering how are they going to throw Abraham without the guards bringing Abraham also burning. Devil took the shape of a human being and come to them and say, this is a way. Call Abraham, make a sling, majajawa. Get something, put Abraham. Some people will roll at one side, some will roll at the other side, and then you will not be swinging him. As you are swinging, you throw him. Then he will go into the fire without you getting burned. And that's what they did. So they go to a far distance where they cannot get burned, put a rope tied Abraham. Some people hold the other side through his leg. Some hold the other one through his hands. And they keep on swinging him, swinging like a pendulum, until it gather momentum. Then they now release him. And he start heading toward the fire. As he was going to the fire, at the moment of going to the fire, Angel Gabriel came to him quickly and said, Ya Khalilur Rahman, O you the friend of God, allow me to save you from this flame. Nabi Ibrahim only replied, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Oh, Hasbiyallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is enough for me. I don't need your help, Angel Gabriel. So Angel Gabriel left. Michael came. Angels keep on coming and Nabi Ibrahim say, no, he doesn't need them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through that Ismul Jalali, a command was issued in Hadratul Amru. What is the command? Kunu baradan salaman ila Ibrahim. Three things. Be called. And being called, the coldness shall be a coldness that is not harmful to a human being. And then do that to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pronounced it, is faster than swinging Abraham to go and fall in. So the Amru come to the fire before Abraham land into the fire. And then the fire must obey. Because this is coming from Ismul Jalal, Allah. So as Abraham fall in, the flame did not burn Abraham. But remember, Allah said, don't burn Abraham. He did not say, don't burn Abraham and his cloth. So his clothes were burned. He was born. The cloth burned, but the body is not burned. So when angels saw Abraham naked inside the ditch of the flame, they quickly went to the paradise. And they bring a cloth for him to wear so that he cannot be naked. And that cloth that brought to him, that is what his grandchildren inherited. His son Isaac inherited that cloth. Then he gave to Jacob. Jacob gave it to Joseph. It kept on going until it came to the hand of Yohannisa, the mother of Moses. And then she gave Moses. Moses is the last apostle known with that cloth. He used that cloth. When it is cold, he wear the cloth, he will not peel the cloth. When it is hot, he will not even peel. Scholars say, even if you are hungry, when you put the cloth, the hunger will leave. It's a cloth having color, red stripe of color, white stripe of color, from the top to the down. That is how the cloth is. And then, it's just like a clock, like al-jabba. When you wear, you put your hand, and then it will cover you like this. So he was given that cloth. And he wore it. The flame kept on burning until it finished burning. The Babylonian didn't bother to come and check, because they know he was dead. So his family came and asked to be given the privilege to go and carry the ash so that they will go and do burial for him. On entering, they discover Abraham didn't die. So they just keep it secret. They say, okay, let us not mention it to anyone so that they will not come again and harm you. So they allow it until it is nighttime. They came and remove him, and they asked him to pack all his belongings and leave Babylon so that the king would not ask for him again. And that was when he traveled to Egypt. Maybe Ibrahim alayhi salam. So ma amruna illa wahidatan kalam hil bil basar. The instruction from your Lord, it will come and happen just in a twinkling of an eye.
Walakad ahalakna ashya'akum fahal min muddakir.
Walakad ahalakna ashya'akum fahal min muddakir. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, we have destroyed older generation apart from the, how many were mentioned in the beginning of this chapter? People of Noah, Ad, Samud, people of Sidon and Gomorrah, that's the people of Lot, and then lastly, people of Pharaoh, 5. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, beyond this number 5, there were a generation destroyed. We only give you the story of 5 as a lesson to you. Fahal min muddakir, are you not going to learn lessons from this story? Yes, indeed, there are lessons. Somebody wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to pick those lessons and then to practice them.
Wa kullu shay'in fa'alu fi zubur.
Wa kullu shay'in fa'alahu fi zubur. And everything that happened, has happened, and will happen was recorded in a great book. And that's the Lawhul Mahfuz. There was a divine notice board, a big notice board at the seventh heaven, known as the Lawhul Mahfuz. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went to start creation, creating all those creators, he created the mighty pen. The mighty pen. And then the mighty pen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the mighty pen and said, write on that board. And the mighty pen said, oh my Lord, what am I going to write? Allah said, write al-Qadru. What is Qadru? That is the sixth article of faith in Islam. Al-Qadru means happenings. Happenings, events. Things that happen, or they are happening, or they will happen, or they will happen, they are all called Qadru in Arabic language. So we give a rough translation of destiny. Destiny. That is the English translation. So, the Lawhul Mahfuz documented and wrote all happenings. All things that will happen, they will be recorded. This is what will happen, this and this, this and this, this and this, before the things start happening. And when it started happening, it is following the chronological order how it was written on that Lawhul Mahfuz. That is a justification that God knows everything. Because if God tells us he knows everything, some will argue, particularly human being and genie. But having recorded everything before they occur, justify to us that he has foreknowledge of what will happen. So, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَأَلَهُ بِالزَّبُرُ. Whatsoever event that will happen, or has happened, or is happening, is recorded in the divine Lawhul Mahfuz. Those things in Lopulu Mahapus are condensed, are summarized, are shortened, and revealed in scriptures, the 114 scriptures. That is why when the scripture talks, that thing will definitely happen. Because it is a summary of what is in the Lawil Mahfuz.
وكل سجير وكبير مستطر.
وكل سجير وكبير مستطر. However small a thing is, it was recorded. However big a thing it is, it was recorded. That means the Lawil Mahfuz does not record summary. It is detailed. That is why kulli sagirin. Had it been a summary, it will say, wa kullu kabirin mustatir. Then we will know it's a summary. You cannot get minor things. And it doesn't say, wa kullu sagirin, that it is just minor things without summary to summarize for you. So it has the detail and the summary of everything in the universe. It kept record of it. And it is from there that those events are being taken and recorded in scriptures.
Inna al-muttaqina fi jannatin wa nahar.
Inna al-muttaqina fi jannatin wa nahar. Inna al-muttaqina, but those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey him in their life in this world by following the message he brought through a scripture and through an apostle, those people, fi jannatin, they are going to be in paradise as their end of their life. When they die after living in grave, judgment was established, they will go to paradise. Wanaharin, and then in that paradise, there are rivers or there are dams, we call it that way, that will connect things and bring into their houses. There is pure water connected and coming through the tap in the paradise houses. You open the tap, you get clean water. And the water is cold in such a way you like it. There is a dam that will bring milk. There is a dam that will bring honey. And then there is another one that will bring beer, alcohol. These are the four that we have. And they are in each paradise, and they will never finish. As you drink, the quantity you drink will now emerge in the liver again. Whatsoever quantity you drink, it is replaced immediately. So there is no time that there will be shortage.
Imaqadin sirikin inda malikin muqtadir.
Fi maq'adi sidiki inda malikin muqtadir. That is the peak of enjoyment in paradise. This last verse 55. Inshallah ta'ala, may we be. On Friday, judgment was established. And the judgment started from morning to Asr. At the time of Asr prayer, judgment has been done, has been finished on that Friday. We enter into paradise. All the protocols, everything done by Maghrib, each one will be in his own paradise, inshallah. Then sleep in the paradise with beautiful women. They keep you company. The next day morning, which is Saturday. Saturday, as you are moving around, exploring water, exploring honey, exploring milk, you will come across alcohol. And your beautiful wife will take you, will tell you, Master, drink this. This is something you have never drank in your life in this world, because God forbid it for you. Now here it's not forbidden, take it. As the people of paradise took that alcohol, they will start floating in the air. Just like paper. As they float, they will go into the top of mountain, meet another set of beautiful women. With food, with everything, they drink, they also take the alcohol, they float, and they keep on flying as they drink, until they reach a presence where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined, it is for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with. They are the only one that will reach that place. Angel will come and tell them, you people that are awliya Allah, those who are loved by Allah, Allah has an appointment with you that he wants you to come so that you can see him. So they will all be taken, and they will be taken to a very big garden. We call the garden is having seeds. Seeds decorated. There is no seed that is as beautiful as those seeds. We cannot even describe how that seed looks like. You know, here we have a seed made of gold, some seed having diamonds and whatsoever. So that seed is the most beautiful seed on the universe. And each one there is his name. So you just go look for your seed and you will see it. That, those seeds are called Makadis Siddiqui. The seeds of those who are sincere to God. As they search there, it is then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do tajalli, and they will see God Almighty. And the kind of pleasure they will have for sitting with God, seeing God, will be better than paradise. Better than anything they enjoy in the paradise, seeing God is better than everything. That is why ridallahu is better than living in paradise. Because only those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them that will sit there. Makadis Siddiqui. They are going to sit in honorable chairs known as Makadis Siddiqui. In the Malikin Muqtadir. And as they were sitting, they will see Malik al-Muqtadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik. Malik Yawmiddin. They are going to see him and they will talk with him and discuss with him. In fact, many of them will not like to leave that place and come back to paradise. Many. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a way that he will make them to come back without their knowing. So this is the end of this particular chapter. Suratul Qamari, having 55 chapters, 55 verses. What we read and we acquired, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us. Where we read and err, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our teachers who teach us about Ulumuddin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our shuyukh for giving us spiritual training. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our country and other nations of Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to have full benefit of this particular month, all the spiritual fiesta in the month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to enjoy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our towns to attain peace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secure us from the harm of all those evil men, parading themselves as bandits, parading themselves as kidnappers, parading themselves as terrorists, parading themselves as bad leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distance them from us and distance us from them. For the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin arrahmani maliki yawmid din iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in ihdinas siratal mustaqim siratal ladzina an'amta 'alaihim ghairil maghdubi 'alaihim waladdallin
amin
allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina muhammadil fatihil ma'budil barakatil wasa'idina bismillahirrahmanirrahim wa 'ala alihi siratal mustaqim wa 'ala alihi qadamil ghairil ladzina subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin
amin.